Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Lagerman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jeff is the analyst for Jacksonville Jaguars radio broadcasts. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for a bit. Why don't we get started with maybe just talking a little bit about the culture that the Jaguars seem to have hopefully changed a bit, because obviously it was pretty rocky waters last year. How do you think things are a different feel, different culture here in 2022 with Coach Peterson?
Well, I can tell you that that I've never seen an off season to where the new head coach talks about having a football team heal from the previous year. And that's exactly what the head coach, Doug Peterson, talked about, was getting his players the time and what they needed to heal in the off season. And that's kind of strange, right? I mean, you just typically don't hear a new head coach talk that way. But, you know, last year was tough, you know, for a lot of different reasons. The players kind of got beat down and felt beat down, and, you know, enough of the past. But the players are very excited to have Doug Peterson. They're very excited about how he is treating them like pros, and about how his experience has led him to the promised land in the past, and they feel like that they've got the right one leading the way.
Let's talk about the quarterback there in Trevor Lawrence, who certainly showed signs last season that he can be great, and it was a great college quarterback. We know that there at Clemson. What have you seen from him in camp and this offseason that that gives Jaguars fans hope?
Well, I think that's the number one question, and you know, besides who's leading the organization. And last year, Trevor showed me the most important thing that you got to have, and that's the intestinal fortitude to play the position, because it's not easy to play the hardest position in all of sports. And how he handled himself last year and how he handled the leadership role with a football team in a difficult situation was just incredible. And so you know he's got a chance, and you know he has the inner workings to be able to handle some tough situations, not only just, you know, the mental part of it, but also the physical part of the game. And he's got a long way to go. You know, last year, you know, if you look at the numbers, he was last in yards per attempt. He was 29th in completion percentage, 29th in touchdown interception ratio, 30th in rating. I mean, so he's got a long way to go, but there's no question that his arm talent is there, that he's got the mind. He's had great success before. He's not used to losing. And I think this is going to be a significant jump for him in year two. And I can't wait to watch it, because this organization needs him to make a big jump for them to be able to get where they want to be.
I feel like there's a lot of people that believe that Trevor Lawrence is capable of that. Part of what would help him is if he had some real weapons around him. For Browns fans that aren't, you know, following Jaguars football all that closely, what kind of faith is there in his receiving core and in his other skill positions?
Well, they spent some money. You know, they utilized the free agent period to upgrade the roster on the offensive side of the ball. And they went out and spent a bunch of money. And that's what you do, you know, when you have to supplement your roster when you don't draft very well, and the draft hasn't historically been very good here. So they go out in free agency and they sign who I think is one of the best slot receivers in football, and Christian Kirk from the Cardinals. They bring in Evan Engram, a very talented receiving tight end from the Giants. They bring in Zay Jones, who is a vertical threat, and they bring in Brandon Scherff to help shore up an offensive line. So they have spent some money, some resources on the offensive side of the ball, and to give him some accomplished players, and that's what you need. You know, sometimes you just got to have players that have been there and done that, so that your young quarterback can experience being there and doing that.
You know, Jeff, let's go back to last year for a minute. I mean, this is Buckeye country, so obviously Urban Meyer is very familiar to a lot of our fans as a hero or an icon, really, here in Ohio. It was tough to see him fail in Jacksonville, and obviously a lot of the reports that are out there. I'm not going to make you, like, kill Urban Meyer here, by the way, but, I mean, just what happened last year and how tough was that situation?
Well, it wasn't easy, and I think – the players in the locker room had a hard time the way that he spoke to them.
Yeah.
A lot of times he would speak down to them, and maybe that works at college, and fear maybe works, but it doesn't work at the NFL level.
Right.
And so I think a lot of players might have lost a little bit of respect for him. And then when the incident in Columbus happened where he stayed behind and he was seen groping a girl, and then he lied about it, and the reason he lied about it is because he didn't think that there was a second video. And when the second video came out, it was very apparent that he lied. And lied to ownership, lied to the locker room, and when you do that, you've lost it. And look, I wish him nothing but the best, and whatever his next endeavor is. But last year was not a good year, and it was one that I think the organization would like to forget about.
Forward looking, you know, you seem to have the quarterback. I realize it's not proven yet, but there's a lot of reasons to like what you have in Trevor Lawrence. I realize that this league can be fickle at times, but the NFL is built to be able to turn it around quickly. And in the AFC North, we certainly saw that with Cincinnati. So I hope this isn't too outlandish of a question, but flat out, can the Jaguars contend in the division this year?
Well, it's not a particularly strong division. So I would say yes to that. If you can get some things fixed on the defensive side of the ball and Trevor takes, you know, some steps in progressing to be, you know, what you expect him to be, because, I mean, the reality is, and the other teams in the division, it's not exactly a quarterback-rich division. So I think you got a real strong chance, and if you can find the guy that's going to be your long-term answer, I think that you can dominate this division for a decade or more to come. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. Tennessee, obviously, is the big dog in the division right now, and they've got a great running back in Derrick Henry, who actually – grew up not far from downtown Jacksonville, where we're at right now. But the rest of the division, you know, Houston's got an unproven quarterback. Matt Ryan is now in Indianapolis, and, you know, he's kind of fallen up. Otherwise, the Atlanta Falcons would have never let him go, you know. So there's going to be some opportunities in this division. And, you know, and the Jaguars have a good schedule. You know, they come out in the first 8 games of the season. They're not playing a playoff team. And so you've got an opportunity to kind of right the ship pretty quick and get some positive vibe in the locker room and some confidence. And if all of a sudden you can gain that in the first 8 games, you never know where you can go.
Jags radio analyst and former NFL defensive end Jeff Lagerman, our guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jeff, how about Travis Etienne? What have you seen from him so far in camp that leads you to believe he could have a good year?
Man, he is fast. I mean, I'm talking fast. I mean, everybody in the NFL is fast. But Travis has another gear. And last year, he didn't play at all. He had a Lisfranc injury that required surgery. They inserted a pin, and it's been amazing to watch him from the get-go of training camp. He has had and shown no ill effects. He looks like he's 100%. He's got that extra gear. You know, and the Jaguars are hoping that James Robinson can come back from an Achilles tear that he suffered in Week 16. And he's progressing nicely. So all of a sudden, you know, if everything goes as planned, then you would like to think that in the opening weekend when the Jaguars travel to Washington to face the Commanders, you might end up having James Robinson and Travis Etienne Jr. And if you got both of those guys, that's a great 1-2 punch in the backfield. And then you drafted a guy by the name of Snoop Connor from Mississippi, who's kind of a big back, one-cut guy downhill. They can give you some physical carries, too, if James Robinson is not completely healthy. So that's obviously having a strong running game and getting the offensive line right is going to help a young quarterback in a lot of ways.
Hey, Jeff, did want to ask you, just about a week or so ago, your old teammate Tony Boselli gets into the Hall of Fame just about, you know, an hour from where we're broadcasting right now in Canton, Ohio. How cool is that to see the first Jag go into the Hall of Fame?
That was awesome. You know, I was there for all the events. And, in fact, me and my wife flew out the day before the Hall of Fame game and got to hit a couple Hall of Fames. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was awesome. and then seeing the Pro Football Hall of Fame was incredible. And seeing a lot of guys, you know, that played with or against was truly special. And having some conversations with, you know, the Hall of Fame guys, and two guys that really, I think, stood out to me was John Randall and the wide receiver, Fred Blitnikoff for the Oakland Raiders, the old school wide receiver. It was cool, but to be able to be there for the first Jaguar to go into the Hall of Fame was awesome, and Tony was incredible, gave a great speech, was incredibly humble and thankful, and it was a big moment for the organization in the city of Jacksonville. You know, the Jaguars and the organization hasn't been particularly successful. You know, in the early days, this team was winning a lot of football games, and then there's been a lot of lean years with the exception of 2017, and so having Tony Boselli go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which in my opinion, he's one of the best left tackles to play the game, and I've played against a lot of them that are in the Hall of Fame, and he is tremendous from day one. When he stepped foot in camp in 1995 in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, I just said, whoa, this guy is different. And he was that good, and he was that athletic and that talented, and so well-deserved, and super excited for him and his family, and then also for the city of Jacksonville to have a great moment. You know, especially great moments that haven't been very often on the football field for this football team.
Just on a personal note, had you ever been to the Hall of Fame before?
Yeah, actually, two times. I was there in 1992 when I was with the Jets, and that was the year, and I remember it very well because John Riggins was inducted. And at halftime back then, you know, I don't know if you guys remember this, but they used to have the Hall of Fame inductees ride around the playing field in a convertible, you know, like a parade wave.
Yeah.
And I remember it very well because, you know, John Riggins, you know, I grew up in Northern Virginia, man. I was a, you know, big John Riggins fan. And, of course, the legend of John Riggins extended far away from the football field, you know, when his statement about, hey, Sonder, baby, I don't know if you guys remember that statement or not. Mm-mm. But it was to a senator or congresswoman that he made that statement to. But anyway, he was on the back of that convertible car and was doing the parade ways, and he was having – actually, it looked like he had to have a little help sitting up on the back seat because he was having such a good time. And then also in 1995, you know, the first year expansion year for the Jaguars, when I signed as a free agent, was there playing in the Hall of Fame game against the Carolina Panthers. So that was my third experience there, and it's changed a lot. You know, Tom Benson Stadium,
yeah, for sure,
is incredible. The Hall of Fame has obviously expanded, and Hall of Fame Villages, LLC, which has all the development around Tom Benson Stadium, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you had some experience both pre-renovation and post, because I think that is one of the coolest exhibits. It obviously honors the great game of football, but, man, it is so much fun as a fan to walk in there. Some of the interactive stuff they've got is just really cool.
Yeah, and what an incredible setup. I mean, between, you know, and I know there's kind of a whole – complex kind of arrangement between McKinley Senior High School and the Pro Football Hall of Fame and you know, Hall of Fame Villages LLC and all that stuff. Man, they do a great job of having three entities work incredibly well together to make what was an exceptional week for me. And I know talking to Tony and his family, they just were just blown away by the facilities, blown away by the nice people of Canton, and are very much appreciative of their week that they had there.
Jeff, one last quick question for you before we let you go. I just want to know your observations of Jacksonville's fan base and the way they perceive this entire Deshaun Watson situation. Are people down there as locked in as it seems around the rest of the league, certainly as we are in Cleveland? And are you guys waiting on pins and needles the same way we are to find out what the quarterback situation is going to look like?
Yeah,
here in Cleveland?
I think everybody's definitely paying attention to it. I mean, it's the number one issue in the league right now as far as storylines go. So I think everybody's waiting to see exactly what's going to happen with the appeal. And, you know, I think a lot of people are a little upset that the Browns organization paid $230 million guaranteed to a player that had some legal things that were hanging over his head. But neither here nor there, you know, it's going to play out the way it plays out. And, you know, I feel for the Browns coaching staff, you know, in the situation that they're in and the Browns players besides Deshaun Watson, just because it's difficult to prepare for an NFL season, but when you're dealing with a lot of unknowns, it's incredibly difficult. And how do you really know when you really don't know what pieces you're going to be playing with? And I also feel for the Cleveland Browns fans. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of them that aren't very thrilled with the Deshaun Watson contract, the Deshaun Watson signing, and football is about passion, and fans are passionate, and they care about their football team. So, you know, it's a difficult situation, I think, from a lot of different ways.
Well, we all certainly care about it, and looking forward to some finality for sure. In the meantime, Jeff, it is finally a Football Friday. We're back at it, and certainly want to wish you well this year. I hope it's a good year for the Jags, and enjoy tonight's preseason opener.
I appreciate it, and I hope you guys can get a little bit of finality to the Deshaun Watson.
So do we, no doubt. We're tired of talking about it every day, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not easy, and I know that it's not easy on you guys, and it's not easy on the fans. So I hope some resolution can come to the forefront pretty quick.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Good luck.
All right, thank you, guys.
Had a lot of conversation so far today around Deshaun Watson, and the reality is we don't know for sure when the decision's going to come. And it feels like we've been swinging on this pendulum during the show, haven't we? We started with, Maybe Florio says he thinks something's going to happen. And then it became Pro Football Talk tweeting essentially, hey, I'm told settlement talks are not out of the question. Stay tuned to, you know, give everybody the impression that maybe something is coming before the game tonight. And then basically anybody who's followed this situation, especially locally, said, yeah, no kidding. Settlement talks are ongoing, and there's a chance that a settlement could be reached. Stay tuned. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily imminent, just a couple of hours before a preseason game would kick. And then Dan Graziano from ESPN says that sources told him there will not be a ruling today from Peter Harvey on this Watson appeal. So Deshaun's going to play tonight, and the Browns are finally going to get to see what he looks like as he tries to develop some chemistry with a team that has very, very high expectations. And considering that he's probably not going to have a boatload of opportunities early in this season, Dustin, to develop chemistry with those guys in game action. I really hope he takes advantage of the chances that are in front of him starting tonight.
Yeah, he will. I think he's going to look great tonight, honestly. I think it's going to be a really good opportunity for him to get on the stage and prove why the Browns decided to give him all this money.
He kind of has to. And well, let me ask you this. Do you think Deshaun is feeling any additional pressure to go out there, even though it's a preseason game, to look like the kind of quarterback that he's been in the past, even though he hasn't played in a couple years?
I'm sure he is. I think he's just feeling, but that's normal. It's just good pressure. It's not like it's, you know, something that's going to make him not play poorly. I think he'll be fine.
Do you have any pregame rituals?
Not really.
Just put the pads on and let it rip?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Whether you were a college player or an NFL player, you never called somebody before a game or thought about certain things or
no.
Nothing?
No.
Man, I feel like that's abnormal. Did you had to have teammates that did stuff.
Yeah, I mean, lots of guys had superstitious or superstitions, I should say. I just didn't. Just didn't really have them.
I don't know. Fair enough. I'm looking forward to seeing how this team comes out, especially on the offensive side. I'm actually almost as interested to see how they're going to play when Watson's not in the game, because I kind of expect that Jacoby Brissett is going to get a little bit of run with the first team guys. If you don't make a move for Garoppolo or something, I mean, don't you kind of have to somewhere along the way?
Yeah,
but then you leave the rest of the guys in. Maybe it's not this week. I don't know. Somewhere along the way, Brissett's going to have to get some game reps.
Yeah,
with the number one. Maybe that's not tonight. Actually, come to think of it, I would be surprised if it is tonight.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Browns are going to put the ones out there for what might equate to the entire first half. And you might need to do that if you're going to have
Watson. See how much these guys actually play tonight. They got to be careful. Like I think Stefanski's going to be really cautious with what he shows tonight and how much guys play, because like you got to be careful. I mean, if you're going to go into the season with not having Watson for a certain portion or the whole season, I'd be very cautious with Brissett and with a lot of the backups.
How about from a preseason games perspective, like number of games? For so long you had four. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's three preseason games. Do you think that changes the game planning, like the things you want to try to accomplish during the preseason because you have one less dress rehearsal?
That's a good question. It's probably a better question for Stefanski. Like I'm not sure. Like when I played, I mean, we had four games, and you know, some of those games, specifically the dress rehearsal, like I never got reps in those games because I was a two or three and our starters played the whole first half, and then the twos would play most of the second half. So I think you just adapt, right, to not having as many reps in the preseason. And tonight's gonna be interesting. It's the first game of the year, and Watson's going to play. After that, I think it's everything's on the table.
Kale, I'm gonna have you pull up a clip here. I want to play from Coach Stefanski's coach's show yesterday. It's clip number four on Deshaun Watson in the preseason. For those that didn't catch it last night, here's what Coach had to say about Deshaun playing in these preseason games.
Really get used to our program, get used to our pregame and getting out there on the first play and huddling up and getting in and out of run checks, running the show, coming back off after hopefully a successful drive, sitting down on the bench, making corrections, all the things that go with operation when you're talking about a new team, new players, new teammates, new coaches, new scheme, new play caller, all those things.
I mean, none of that really surprises me, but it gives me the impression that Coach Stefanski just wants to see the basics executed. He's not looking for anything flashy at all from Deshaun tonight.
Just execute. I bet he throws about five to seven throws. And I think he'll look good. He's looked great in practice. I don't know why he wouldn't look good in a game situation. I hope the Jaguars play their starters on defense just to kind of give him a feel for what it's going to be like when he gets out there. But, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
What kind of reception do you think he's going to get from fans? I mean, we asked Jeff Loggeman, the Jaguars radio analyst who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour, and you can check that out on 92.3thefan.com or in the Rewind part of the Odyssey app if you missed it. Basically asked him what the perception is down in their neck of the woods of this entire situation. And he danced around it a little bit from the political correct perspective.
Right.
I got the impression that, you know, they're all kind of, hey, what are you doing, Cleveland? Why are you giving this guy that has this, you know, giant cloud hanging over his ability to get on the field, why are you giving him all this guaranteed money?
Right.
And I just wonder how the fans are going to, you know, react. It's obviously not a super hostile crowd in Jacksonville. At least I don't think.
Right.
Hasn't been historically. Maybe we'll get a better gauge for that when, you know, if Sean's able to play a preseason home game. He's obviously been well-received at training camp.
You've
seen plenty of videos circulating on social media, or if you've been to camp, you've seen that there's an awful lot of support for him out in Berea right now. But I'm interested to see the kind of reception he gets from fans tonight.
You think he'll get booed?
Ah.
I think there's a chance he could get booed tonight.
I don't think Browns fans are going to boo him.
No. But this game's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think Jaguars fans may boo him. You know, he's going to have that the rest of his career. He's just going to have
everywhere
to deal
he
with
goes.
It.
It's going to be tough for him on the road. Like, this is something that's he's not going to live down. Like, it's going to follow him.
Yeah. But winning cures everything.
It does.
And if he can figure out a way to win, man.
Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.